and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season 2, episode 11 of Ted Lasso called Midnight Train to Royston.
Yeah, and we also have joining us, special guest Yang.
Yeah, our cat.
Because he just can't help himself. But we also have the excitement of Natalie's actually in the house.
I am. And I was for like... Oh, not the last ones. Actually, not the last four. Mm-mm. So, yeah, no, this is special.
Mm-hmm. And we are still in your month of birthday, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just felt like we needed to share that. So we have our usual disclaimers, which are that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, and we are drinking. And what is this that you have in your birthday glass?
It's lemonade.
Yay!
So exciting.
Yeah, we're not doing terribly great with, like, matching things to the end of the season.
Who cares anymore?
These are
honestly,
like,
it's what's available.
Well, right, and these are extra episodes anyway. Not to say that we actually did a ton of planning for the whole Ted Lasso thing, but I am having what's called a Prince of Wales cocktail because I figure, hey, it's still set in England, why not? I'm going to have to, of course, recycle this when we're doing The Crown, but, you know. We're not there yet, but this is, it's kind of a fall, winter, a little bit heavier bubbly based cocktail, and it's got a sugar cube and half an ounce of Grand Marnier and half an ounce of cognac, sparkling wine, and some Angostura bitters, which I'd forgotten that I had, which are, hey, they smell interesting. So,
also, if you're hearing like ice, that's my lemonade. I'm sorry that you're gonna get a little bit of ASMR that you didn't want.
It is just one of those things. You might also get some purring in the background because, you know, yay. So, you know, things happen. So this episode starts with a match.
Well, at the very end of a match, Sam is being praised for getting a hat trick, which is 3 goals. And he basically single-handedly, like, with those goals, won the game and is getting them to be 1 win away from getting a promotion.
Right, so getting promoted back to the Premier League. And so I'm going to say this because I mentioned, and I know that there's been a shout-out on Ted Lasso to that Welcome to Wrexham show, the Ryan Reynolds and some other guy, like the Wrexham football team squad.
I've not watched that.
I watched the first episode today. And it actually explains that pyramid of how you get promoted and relegated. And it's like
they have the pyramid on, I think, the wall in the coach's office.
No.
That's just the pyramid for success.
Right. It's the pyramid for success, which your father actually explained to me. And it comes up a lot in the next episode, and we'll talk about that. But that is not the football promotion and relegation thing. So... but they are they are 1-1 away from returning to the Premier League. The team just kind of like piles on Sam, and they're just so thrilled for him. And he's like kind of glowing and happy, but there's something missing for him.
Yeah.
And
he goes to his car and he gets a text from Rebecca congratulating him. And you can tell that, look, I actually paused because I needed to take a note, and I noticed that the texts before that were like, oh, I don't like, there were like a string of emojis, which is, I think, on brand for Sam. And then also, oh, no, this is not to try to pressure you at all. I miss you. And so I'm like, yeah, you do miss her. And that's pretty clear.
Yeah. And he's just kind of sitting there, Colin. And I'd forgotten that he was also the car guy.
He's the Lambo guy.
And I guess he got a new Lambo for
one. No, I think it's the same one.
He does not know how to drive it at all. It's embarrassing.
He's struggling. He's like, wish me luck.
and he can't, like, just navigate in the parking lot, let alone, like, get out of the parking lot. And then he speeds off, and you hear people screaming. It's just like, oh, my God, he's going to kill somebody. But, you know, again, these little comic touches, so helpful. So then you've got Keely and Rebecca talking, and Keely is all excited, and she's very, very nervous because she has been told that she's going to be featured in a Vanity Fair business article, an interview.
As a powerful woman on the rise.
Yep. And it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Which is crazy. That's great.
It is exciting. And she's like, well, I'm mad fit and successful. So, you know, that's a thing.
And Ted, this is really funny. Ted comes in and to introduce the idea that Keely's going to be in Vanity Fair. She's like, okay, so Ted, guess who is doing the Vanity Fair thing? And he's just like, I finally got it? That's incredible!
Well, right, but she's also finally got to be featured as, you know, the most, a woman on the rise. And she's like, I got it? It's like, dude.
And then she's just like, no, Keely didn't. He's just like, ah, yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And he talks about how everyone's supposed to chip in on a gift for the doctor who is leaving.
Yeah, it's her last day. And her gift is going to be cash.
yeah, but, you know.
Because they've already shared secrets. I mean, you're just going to get cash.
Right. And Higgins then comes in and, you know, kind of interrupts, and he's like, hey, there's this tech guy, Edwin Nkufu, mm-hmm. who wants to buy the club.
Well,
he's from Ghana.
He's just inherited £1.2 billion from his father, and he is very interested in football, and that's when Higgins is like, oh yeah, I think he might want to buy the club. And so everyone's like, what? Okay. And yeah. He's going to meet with Rebecca. And then we go over to Will, well, Nate's office, but Will comes in and he's bringing in Nate's dry cleaning, which is the suit that Ted got him in the first season for the red carpet.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I got the suit that Ted gave you dry cleaned, and Nate goes off about, the suit that Ted got him, and Nate, being the inseparable dick that he has become, gets mad because the transitive property, it is mine now. It is my suit. He got it for me, yes, but it is my suit because he's being a little bitch.
Yeah, he's just being a baby.
That's not even the beginning.
And then Roy comes in.
Well, Beard also sees the interaction first.
Right, right. Yeah, Beard is, it knows that there's shit going on. But Roy comes in and he's like, super busy. She's like, are my eyebrows crazy? And they're kind of like, is there a right answer to this question?
Nate looks at Beard, and then Beard just like slowly shakes his head.
Yeah, he's like, well, you know, because I've got to be in this photo shoot with Keely, and they told me that I need to wear black so that she pops, and they're kind of like, you wear black all the time. He's like, this is dark charcoal.
This is dark heather charcoal.
Yeah.
I love
things that are dark heather charcoal. I understand.
Okay. But then Ted comes in, and Nate runs a tactic, which is called a false nine, with Ted basically switching the positions that Danny and... oh my god, why did I forget his name? Jamie, usually are in, they will play midfield instead of being strikers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Ted's like, okay, cool, we'll try that out in practice, we'll see how that goes. And then as when Ted leaves, Nate, like, is exasperated and is just like, oh my gosh, I gave him another great idea that he's just going to take all the credit for. I'm like, bitch, when has that ever happened? Ted always gives out the credit to everybody.
Well, but here's the other thing. He's like, oh, and he's like, don't you ever want to be the boss and get all the credit for, like, you know, what you've done and other people's great ideas? And it's like, great ideas are... Yeah,
that's part of the job. That's what Roy says.
Well, that's part of what every job is. But this is the other thing that Beard points out. He's like, you know, they found that trees are not actually competing for sunlight.
No, I wrote it down. Trees are a socialist community. They work in harmony to share the sunlight. And then Nate says, can't you just give me a straight answer for once? And then Roy says, I think he just did.
Yeah. But then Beard tells Roy that his eyebrows aren't crazy, they're psychotic.
and he says, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But also Nate, like, states that he's going to take credit for it when it works.
Well, right, and you know, again, this is one of those, like, real-life things. It's kind of like, who gives a fuck?
I understand where Nate's coming from to a certain point. Like, I understand wanting to get the credit for your idea, but I don't see anything that, like, Ted has done that has not given Nate the credit that he deserves.
Right.
We have not witnessed any point where Ted has taken the credit for a tactic that Nate came up with.
He just feels that it is a Nate issue. And I think...
An issue.
Well, part of what you see in this, and I think this is true with a lot of worker organizations, and of course, you know, I see myself in Nate, you know, being petty and childish at various points, because it's happened. It has. And you see that, like, oh, I'm not getting credit for the things that I'm doing, or I am, you know... I want more or whatever, and it's just kind of like, wow.
It's valid, but I think that him not seeing the fact that that hasn't happened, like, if we had seen an instance where Ted was like, oh yeah, that was my tactic that I came up with, if he took credit for it, yeah, that would be understandable, and I understand where Nick came from, but he's saying, oh, it's just another tactic that he's going to take credit for. It's like, he is not, from what we've seen, he is not taking credit for anything.
And of course, if people outside of the organization, you know, like, say they won using that tactic. They would just say, oh, wow, Richmond won. That was awesome. Let's keep, you know, perhaps they would say, let's keep the
coaches,
Ted.
Or right. The coach's team or the coaches.
Right, but it is a unit.
Mm-hmm.
He is the face of the unit. Yeah. So you know, maybe he gets some credit for like putting together a good team, which he has, and encouraging people and
he's
elevating
done a lot
people.
Of work.
Yeah. Including elevating Nate.
Yeah.
Which
that ungrateful little bitch.
Yeah, exactly, you fucking asshole.
That Muppet. Yeah. Anyway,
exactly.
Then,
so then we go to Ted and he's
they're on the
so
pitch.
Great. He's teaching the team the bye 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 dance bye bye.
NSYNC.
You know, bye NSYNC, the dance. And you know, he's getting all upset because they're not
NSYNC.
And it's so funny.
And they're running it very seriously, and yeah. It's going to be the goodbye, like, the extra goodbye gift to Sharon.
Yeah,
and so,
the doctor.
And then,
yeah.
a security detail in cars just, like, show up, and there's a freaking helicopter that
yeah.
lands on the pitch, and...
It's like a 007 SWAT team, whatever.
And Edwin, and I'm just gonna call him Edwin.
Yeah, that's easier.
First of all, this actor is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, we recently, on Apple TV Plus, we watched The After Party, and he's in that, and he's great in that as well.
Yeah, he is.
He's great.
Completely different, though.
Very different.
Completely
but, and
girl.
Also, I completely forgot, I'm rewatching Veep right now, and he's in Veep.
He's in Veep?
Yeah, he's
oh,
like the
damn.
Assistant to the assistant. He's like
wow.
Jonah's assistant for a minute, and he's just like completely out of it. Like, oh.
I haven't seen Veep in a while.
He's just
yeah,
very
I mean,
perky and just happy, and he's just like, I don't know what's going on half the time. I'm just having fun. But,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, he's great in Veep as well.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Awesome to see him. But I forgot he was in this, so I was like, oh, yeah.
And, well, right, and see, he comes out like the power guy, whatever, and Ted's like so nervously goofy. I mean, you know, he's goofy anyway, he's nervous anyway, and then he's just like... falling over himself with saying stupid stuff.
Well, he also says the I'm possible. Oh, you know, impossible is, it actually spells out I'm possible. Seriously, that's the quote I use, like, for my scene. Like, if anyone asks me for, like a quote for, like, the scene, my senior quote or something, and for, like, oratorical contest in 8th grade, or actually 7th grade, I used that Audrey Hepburn quote. It's like, nothing's impossible. The word itself says I'm possible. So when he said that, I was like, ah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow.
It's just my go-to because I can't think of anything else.
Right. So, but, you know, as they're landing, he's being nervously goofy and just whatever. And he's going to, you know, meet Edwin with Rebecca at some later time or something.
Well,
but
now.
The, right.
I mean, he landed in the middle of the...
Right. So Edwin leaves and the guys do the dance and it is... adorable.
It's so good.
It is adorable because they do it perfectly
well, also,
and they're
Will,
so excited that they executed
no,
it perfectly.
No, but Will's also holding up like his phone, like playing the music like a boombox, and he's like jamming out to it as well, and
mm-hmm.
everybody's just kind of watching it with a lot of intensity, and then there's like a pause after they're done in like the final pose, and Beard's like, well, you did it! You got it! And then they all freak out like they just won a match. It's
yeah.
so great.
It
I love
is,
it.
It is.
But also,
hilarious.
At the beginning of the meeting scene that's next, you see through the window that the mower on the pitch has to work around the helicopter.
Right. Oh, I forgot that.
It's
I
so
was,
funny.
I have to admit, I was so distracted because Rebecca has this incredible outfit. She looks so amazing.
Mm.
I mean, she's got this, like, gorgeous, gorgeous shirt that I want to buy. You know, and she it's just perfect. She's, like, glowing, and she looks amazing. And this Edwin Okufo comes in. And he says that he, you know, she's like, I'm not selling, you know, you can, she's like boss ass bitching him to like, no tomorrow. And then Okufo says he wants to buy Sam.
Yeah. What a weird way to say it though.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then Sam is on contract for the next 3 years, but Edwin wants to make it worth their while by offering a lot of money. And then there's, this is so funny. Higgins says, oh, he's given you an offer. You can't refuse. And then Ted's like, Godfather reference. I got it. And then Rebecca says, well, I'm refusing an offer he can't make. And then Ted says, is that a quote from the third movie?
Because no one's seen that.
I'm okay with that.
I've seen it. It's trash.
Yeah,
it is trash. I mean, you know, you've got a good cast and they just kind
of... No, the cast isn't the problem.
No, it's not. But then... he admits, Edwin does, that he doesn't even have a team yet. But it will be in Africa, and it's going to do, like, all these amazing things, and that is his goal, and blah, blah, blah.
And he's, and Sam walks in, and most likely to see Rebecca, but everybody's in there, so too bad. And yeah. So Edwin invites Sam to go to a museum with him. And right. It's like, okay, cool. And then they leave. And then Higgins is like, I once wrote a play about a billionaire who took a footballer to a museum and then dinner. And then it's just like, well, what happened? Like, Rebecca's like, well, what happens in the end? And then he's like, oh, they get the meal for free because they found some glass in the pasta.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
But then Keeley was like, gosh, I wish I could write fiction. And, and then Higgins is like, thank you, Keeley.
Well, right, because...
I love the dynamic between Higgins and Keeley. It's a random, like, connection, but I love it so much.
Right, because they're both, you know, again, very, like, encouraging people. But yeah. Rebecca, like, is stuffing her face with a biscuit, like, oh my god, he's gonna take Sam, oh my god, you know, like that. And I'm watching that, like, I get the whole Rebecca reaction to this. Mm. So Nate, you know, Keeley leaves this thing, and Nate is in Keeley's office with the lights off.
And he's like, hi, and then creepy, she's like, yeah.
And with the pillow in his lap, and... I'm going to say this, it's going to sound gross, but I felt like...
He's covering up a boner? Yeah, yes. But like, so, like, I knew exactly where you were going with that. Like,
thanks.
It just looked juvenile because, I mean, actually, I do that sometimes. I just hold a pillow or whatever because, I mean, like...
You can't have a boner.
I'm not like that. I'm just talking about, like, holding a pillow sometimes. If I, like, I'm sharing my feelings, sometimes I just like to hold something, so a pillow. But
he was doing it with no one in the room and the lights.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's just weird.
But then he's asking her, hey, can you help me pick out a fancy suit? And she's like, okay, let's go shopping now.
And right, and like, let's kill two birds with one stone. I've got to get something for my photo shoot. We'll get you a suit. We'll kill two birds with one stone. And Nate says, let's murder some birds with a rock.
That's really
it's kind of like, what you take away from this is what you bring to it.
No, that's great, though.
Yeah, so... parallel to this is mm-hmm. Roy, who goes to Phoebe's school to pick her up, but they had a half day, and her mom picked her up already, and his response is, fun!
Before that, though, he's stopped by one of these teachers, like, who has a sweater on with, like, all these lollipops all over it.
It's so creepy.
And she's just like, oh, it looks like you're a bit too old to be here. And Roy's just, like, staring at her like he's gonna kill her. And then she's just like, do you want a lollipop? And he's like, no.
That whole lollipop thing just reminds me of the Child Catcher. I have issues with lollipops, I think, caused by the Child Catcher.
I have problems because of the Child Catcher.
Problems in general, because, like, oh my god.
He scarred me. I'm telling you, Mom.
I'm with you.
No one should ever offer
me a lollipop. In case you have not seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, you need to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to understand what we're talking about because, oh my god, the Child Catcher is the scariest thing.
Or just look it up and
the fucking world is terrifying.
Look it up at your own risk.
Oh my god, you will have nightmares.
Well, quickly, nothing against the actor who played him. Oh god,
no.
He did a great job, but that's the problem.
Much like Wicked of the Witch of the West, who I proudly compare myself to.
Why?
Because, you know, I'm that kind of bitch.
Water at you or something? Like, what do I need
nice
to do?
Nice try, bitch. No.
Basically, like, the school's doing a fundraiser where they're going to be selling the kids art, but they can't sell Phoebe's because she just drew with charcoal drawings of breasts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of the elementary school boys are using it as currency.
Yeah. No, I love too. Like, what leads to this is, like, Roy sees that the teacher, Phoebe's teacher, has, like, wine and stuff laid out, and she's like, oh, we're having a fundraiser. It's like, yeah, sure you are. You know? And then she explains the whole thing about the art, and he's like, yeah, I can't use hers. And the sketches that Phoebe has done are remarkable.
Yeah, but they cannot be shown or
they cannot. Used. They cannot. And while Roy is there, Keeley texts and says, oh, I'm, you know, doing this thing with Nate to get him a suit, blah, blah, blah. I'll be later or whatever.
I'll meet you at the house at the shoot.
Yeah. And so Roy helps the teacher and is talking to her and is helping her hang artwork up and, you know, doing stuff, whatever.
And then you go to Ted, who's on Skype with his son. It's cute. And then Rebecca comes in.
One of the things that's cute, and it's a callback, again, to the prior season. His son's asking him what he should take to show and tell. And he's like,
yeah, a Jamie Tartt jersey or his Lego Hogwarts.
It's like, I think the Jamie Tartt jersey is easier to carry.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, and so Rebecca comes in, and she has this, you know, heart-to-heart with Ted, which, you know...
Well, she confesses to her affair while the son is still on Skype because he didn't close his laptop all the way, and then he's just like, Dad, what's going on? And then he's like, oh, sorry, bye, love you, and then closes it, and then he checks again, and he's like, okay, now you can tell me. What?
Right. But she admits that she had a torrid affair with Sam, that they're on a break. She is upset because Edwin has come in. And what Ted tells her is listen to her, to your gut, and you know, between your head and your gut,
listen to your heart.
Which is kind of sweet. I mean, it's not as simply done, but whatever.
No, it's not. But then in the next scene, we're with Nate and Keely
shopping. Oh my God!
It's not there yet, Mom.
It's still gross.
It's still weird, but Nate's trying on a suit. It's like a plaid suit. It looks like something straight out of Guys and Dolls.
It does! I didn't think of that. Oh my God.
I know, right?
Well, you were in Guys and Dolls, so there you
go. I was, but I didn't wear a suit like that.
You wore a suit.
I was Scranton Slim. If you've never heard of Scranton Slim, you're right. It's a random-ass gangster name. I had a spotlight on me for 2 seconds and sweat my ass off in this, like, many-piece suit.
Yes, you had a vest. It was the thing.
Yeah.
A vest and a jacket. But, yeah.
Yeah, it was a suit. But then, so basically, Keely
None
tells...
None of them have vests.
Keely says, oh, Roy never takes me shopping.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Roy Kent. Why do I have to shop? I have a black t-shirt.
She does
and
such
jeans.
A good imitation.
It's so good.
It's like hilarious.
It's really good.
I have a black t-shirt and jeans. Yeah, exactly.
Even Roy said, oh, yeah, that's really good.
Well, right. So Nate's got this plaid suit on, and Keely and the sales guy are discussing the crotch and whether it's tight enough.
And they like crouch down and was like, I think it looks good. I mean,
and then they're offered drinks because apparently the cost of everything in this store is like astronomical.
Except for the drinks. The drinks are free.
The drinks are free, and Keely's like, just let's.
You'll need them to like not think about the fact that of the price.
So we cut to Higgins, who apparently knows everyone's birthday.
Well, also he's moving back into his office.
It's a miracle.
For now.
Temporarily. Right. Well, then, I mean, we hope not temporarily.
Well, yeah. Sharon apparently had to leave early because of an emergency, and she left behind some letters. And
without saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye. But Ted leaves before, like, he takes the letter, but Higgins is like, don't let her get away. And then Ted goes back, and he's like, yes. And then he takes the letter.
Yeah, it's too funny. And then they cut to Sam and Edwin at... it looks like the Victoria and Albert Museum. And of course, you know, it makes me want to go back to London. And anytime I see, like, you know, shots of some sort of vacation-type touristy place in London, I want to go back to London. So he has basically bought out...
The entire museum and filled it with actors.
Yeah, so that they will be safe. Because Sam's like, oh, you know, you're just not like what I expected. You don't even have a security detail. He's like, well.
Well, actually. I bought out this entire museum. He also bought a Nigerian piece of art from the museum.
Right.
And then he apparently is breaking up his father's empire and using the money for better things. Right. Like using it for the betterment of humanity, in his opinion.
Right.
And then we go back to Keely and Nate.
And Nate puts on a suit that looks so much like a Roy suit.
It literally
it's
is
black,
a Roy
black, black.
It's,
yeah, it's a Roy
it's
suit.
A, it's the, it's a, I think it's the Roy suit from, like, the auction or something back in season 1.
Yeah, it's a black shirt and tie with a black suit. And of course, Roy looks amazing in it.
Yeah, Roy looks... Well, not that Nate doesn't
Nate
look
looks really good.
But Roy, it works.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you get the sense that, like, oh my God, Keely's got a type kind of thing.
Well, no,
right?
Keely's hyping him up because, like, well, first of all, that's the nice thing to do.
Well,
anyway.
And he does look good. And it does look way better than the plaid suit. So
yeah. And she's fixing his tie, and he asked her if she ever wanted to be the boss because this is a big thing for him. And she says yes because she doesn't want to end up like her mom who didn't really dream big or go after her dreams or anything. And she's like, we're both dreamers who work hard, and the hardest part is deciding to actually go for it. And then he kisses her, that dickwad.
Oh my God, that motherfucker.
But the worst, I think another bad thing about it is that Keely's like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. And it's like, why is that her reaction?
I think it's her reaction because for her, it is...
Sorry
it
about
is
the
It is Yang yelling
it's
in the background.
Yang, no. Because Yang's underneath you.
Oh, okay. So it's our other cat, Yin, who rarely makes an appearance in these things, so we just want to give her a shout out because she has some issues.
Love you, Yin cat.
Love you, Yin. So, but in any case, the thing with Nate, and it bothers him, and it comes up over and over again later, or continually, He's not a threat. She doesn't take him seriously. She's just like, oh, you poor, pathetic thing. Well, it also comes up later,
like, which we'll talk about. So I understand the reaction later on, but, like, it's just, in the moment, I'm just like, girl, he still kissed you, and you didn't really immediately pull away, which, I mean, I guess you have, like, something else to, like, switch in your mind. Like, oh, wait, what is happening?
Listen, yeah, what is going on here? You know, and for her, and I think this is part of, like, a whole your generation thing. You have to go through this, like, am I going to embarrass him in front of, you know, the sales guy? You know, all of those things.
The sales guy's not in the room.
I don't know whether he's in the room or not, because it's such a tight shot. Who knows? But, you know, I think in Keely's mind, she never wants to embarrass anybody or make them feel bad. And I think that's part of her reaction, because she's very, you know, he's very nervous about, I'm sorry. And she's like, oh, it's okay. Because, of course, it's not going to have a lasting effect for her. No. She has no interest
in him. Rory's going to kill him.
Possibly. But,
well, in Nate's mind, he's going to kill him.
Right. And Nate goes back into, and this I find really interesting, too. He goes back into the dressing room.
And spits in the mirror again.
Right. Which is interesting because, you know, that was part of how he built himself up before. And now he's doing what? What is the purpose of that? I don't know.
Maybe just to, like, make himself, like, build himself back up again, because that was very fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we go back to Roy.
Phoebe's teacher. And I will say this. I really like this woman.
She's cool.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm the mean teacher. And, you know, she then goes through, like, a list of names.
Like, plays on her last name.
Right. And she's like, yeah, one of them calls me Fuckwitch, which is my favorite. And I'm like,
no, that's funny.
I can totally see that.
Then she asks Roy if he's married, and he says no, but he seems really thoughtful about it afterwards because he didn't, like, clarify that he is in a relationship. He just said, no, I'm not married.
Right, but there was one other thing. He revealed something about himself before that, too. He said that his coach chased him with a motorbike like Mad Max.
and she was like, that's terrifying. It's like, it made me faster.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I'm going to have to spend the rest of the evening fighting off all these single dads, and that's how the whole marriage thing comes up. And he's like, yeah, no. I'm not married, but then he doesn't say anything else, and he buys all of Phoebe's boob pictures and leaves.
Mm-hmm. And then she also, the more childish teacher comes in, and she's like, ooh, and then the other one is just like, grow the fuck up.
Yeah, like, really?
I do like Phoebe's teacher, and Phoebe also likes her, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then Ted finds Sharon and confronts her about leaving without a goodbye, and she just says she's not good at it. And he's like, well, I need to pee, so can we go into your apartment now? Like,
But
I'm holding it because I'm so pissed at you.
Right, and so what else he says is, you know, I'm pissed off because I'm feeling abandoned. Everybody's abandoned me. And you know, he has, you know, his dad abandoned him, his ex-wife abandoned him. And, you know, I thought we had a breakthrough, blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, yeah, you did. You had a breakthrough. It's like, no, we had a breakthrough. And she's like, yes, we did.
Right, because, of course, he also helped her realize that she's got to share some things, too.
And she doesn't mention that.
To get a good relationship with her actual clients.
And he says that, oh, I'm just not going to read the letter. And she's just like,
I'm better in writing. And, of course, I understand that because I'm better in writing, too.
He starts reading the letter in front of her, and he's just like, you spelled favorite wrong. It's so funny.
She did the favorite.
With the U in it. Also, this must be so... I find it so awkward when people are, like, reading your stuff in front of you, and it's just like you're just standing there like, well... But then he's very moved by the letter.
I'm going to say this. When I left the DA's office, there were people that I wrote letters to rather than... like to a regular goodbye too.
Okay.
So I get it. I mean, I really do.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's one way to do it. And then, she says, yeah, I'm just better at writing goodbye than saying it. And then she says, oh, well, I'm not leaving until tonight, so we should get a drink. And he's like, yeah, we should.
Well, yeah, she says, my train to Royston is at midnight. And of course, aha, title to the episode. We should get a drink. And they go to the regular old-fashioned pub.
Well, eventually. Before that, we go to Edwin...
Edwin, who
created a West African restaurant.
Like, just to entertain Sam.
Just for Sam. It's like, how do you react to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, just the whole... Because Sam talks about this is the best West African food I've had in London. I don't know where you found this place. It's amazing. He's like, well... and then...
It doesn't exist.
Right. He's like, I want to create a team. I want to buy the Royal Casablanca in Morocco. I want to make recruit all the greatest African players and have everybody play for me.
And we're going to win the World Cup.
And we're going to win the World Cup with an African team, which has not been done. And Sam says, well, I want to think about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, you can think about it, no problem, 72 hours.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah, no
and
pressure.
Then we go over to Roy, who just got back to the house, and he goes upstairs, well, after being told by the, coordinator, we'll see what we can do with your eyebrows.
Right, she's like, put on a black suit, and we'll see what we can do with your eyebrows.
And he's just like, oh, fine, whatever. And then he goes upstairs, and Keely is getting ready. Well, she's already ready. But
she looks fucking amazing.
She does. And he says, fuck, you look cool as fuck.
But she's so nervous.
She's nervous, and she's worried because... Yes, being a model is more like selling the product. Now she's putting herself, her real self, out there for people to see.
Right, because he uses the comparison. He's like, look, you had to jump out of a plane, with your boobs hanging out, whatever.
Eating a hamburger,
whatever. And she's like, yeah, but that was just how I looked. This is about who I am.
And then after
we do this interview, people are going to know who I am.
They're going to know the real me. And he says, the real you is fucking amazing. You're Keely fucking Jones. Mm-hmm. And he's the best hype man, honestly.
Oh my God,
when Roy
so
really
awesome.
Puts his mind to it, he can be the most hype person.
And he tells her she's going to kill it. And she's like, oh, so I should keep my top on.
Yeah. And he's like, maybe for the first shot.
Yeah, okay.
But then,
you got kind of a montage that
and you
this.
See Roy, encouraging her during the shoot, and she's having fun. And then we go over to Ted and Sharon, who are also having a good time. And then you see Sam talking to his dad.
Yeah, he talks to his dad, because, of course, that's the person that he goes to. And I love their relationship. And we know so little about it, but it's very, very sweet.
It is.
And, he's calling, he gets a call from his dad about this whole thing. Then we go to Keely and Roy, and they're, on the couch, and this is part of the shoot they're going to do together. And they have to get a new lens or something. And she tells him they're told to look into each other's eyes, right?
Mm.
And so she's like, "Look, Nate tried to kiss me.
He succeeded."
And he's like, yeah,
"See, what I define as try, so really quickly, what I define as try is that he leaned in, looking like he was prepared to kiss you, and then you pulled away.
He kissed her.
No, he did kiss her. It wasn't an attempt. He succeeded."
Yeah, no, there's no question in my mind. He succeeded.
Absolutely. So that kind of bothered me. But then Roy says, well, I talked to Phoebe's teacher for 3 hours, and then when she mentioned, are you married? And I said no, and then I didn't say anything else.
And I don't know why. He says, I don't know why.
And then Keely's just like, oh, you see, after the funeral, Jamie confessed that he still loves me.
And that is an actual thing.
That's actually, crazy important.
Right, because, of course, this is someone she's actually had a relationship with and
actually could be a threat.
Well, and Jamie is a threat to Roy on multiple levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's like a slap to him. He doesn't care that much about Nate, because Nate's, not.
Well, also, after the hug at the Wembley game, it kind of is okay... Maybe they're making headway, but now everything is crashing down because anymore. Now
but they're both very upset by it, and they turn back, and the pictures are very tense.
Mm-hmm.
So then
you couldn't have had this conversation earlier, in the room.
Not with 1,000 people there.
But
I think that's part of, it reflects what happens with people who are in these high-profile positions is they don't have any privacy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the ability to have this be a private discussion that they kind of work through on their own. Everyone's going to be looking at it, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So we go to the doctor, who's playing pinball with Ted. Well, not with Ted. She's playing pinball, and she's like, I'm fucking amazing. And she gets this really high score, so she's supposed to put her initials in. And it's SMF. And Ted's like, let me guess. She's like, sexy motherfucker.
he said Mildred, but then she's just like, no, sexy motherfucker.
It's like, yeah, that's awesome.
That's great.
And the pub guys are there. So Ted goes to the restroom. And the pub guys.
Or the loo, because he loves saying the loo.
He loves saying the loo. And the pub guys are all like, oh, you know, tell us this, tell us about, they claim it's about psychology, but it's kind of like, almost like, oh, so tell me why I'm having a bad relationship with my girlfriend or whatever.
Well, no, the trio goes up to her. Paul is afraid of snakes. I am too, Paul.
That's true.
We are
that's
the
true.
Same.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
And he asks her what it means, and then they kind of have a mini session, and then one of the other pub guys is like, well, I'm having this weird dream where I blah, 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 and she's just like, oh, God. And then the owner has to, like, split them up and be like, no.
But as they're leaving, the guys are like, she's a sorceress.
I love the trio.
I do love them.
And then Ted leaves Sharon a note that just says goodbye. And
a green army man.
And then a green, yeah, in her pint glass, there's a green army man. And she's just like, bitch, son of a bitch stole my trick.
Yeah.
And then I love that so much. And then you see Sam and Rebecca. Rebecca's basically like,
appeared at Sam's house. Yes. She's just at Sam's house with her giant limo out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca.
Well, I think it's a regular sized car because she drives it herself.
So Rebecca says that she's like, I know I haven't given you an answer. I can't give you an answer. I hope you don't go.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't ask you to stay.
Yeah.
And so then Rebecca leaves.
So it's even more confusing for poor Sam.
Yeah, God, it's awful. So Ted, and we're getting to the end of this episode. Ted gets a text from Trent Krim.
No, okay, really quickly.
There's a separate text.
No, yeah, he says, oh, hi, Ted, this is Trent Krim. And then his separate text from The Independent. And then he's just like, great. And then Trent is printing out an expose about Ted having a panic attack at the match from an anonymous source. And he wants to give him a heads up, but he also says that I wrote it down word for word. As a journalist, he had to write it, but as someone who respects Ted, his source was Nate. And I wrote down that in all caps, that stupid, petty, oblivious, cowardly, self-absorbed, and horrible fucker.
This is what I wrote down. Pussy ass power move, Nate, you motherfucker.
Nice. That was a high five worthy one.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I have more next episode.
Oh my God, I do too. But it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You fucking asshole.
Who does that?
I have no idea.
Like,
I cannot. I didn't even write down best part and worst part because worst part is fucking Nate.
Oh, I have more than that. But like, well, also Trent asks if he wants to comment on it, and Ted says no comment. And then,
right,
so
but you can see his reaction of like, oh my God, holy fuck.
But you have to think about how Ted feels at this moment. Like, Ted never really thought about there was being a problem with Nate. Beard was the one handling all of the Nate being too big for his britches bullshit. Like, I'm sure Ted noticed a bit of it, but it was more Beard, like, taking care of it behind the scenes, especially, like, with the Colin incident because he was a stupid fuck and all that stuff. But you have to think about how Ted feels. It's like, this is such a big stab in the back.
Yes.
Because that's completely confidential. Like, yes. That was supposed to just be a secret among friends. It's very personal. It is something that he's going through. It's his own personal journey. He's trying to figure that out on his own. Having it out there, like, having people criticize him, and that's going to be a big part of the next episode.
Right, without talking to him.
Well, he shouldn't have done it in the first place, right, regardless, okay, of
right,
talking to him.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, you should never, never, ever have a discussion about someone's, you know, personal, especially mental health. And, you know, health stuff, if, like, hey, person can't show up to, like, you know.
Like, if it was actually food poisoning, yeah, that, right. I mean, like, that's fine.
Right, or the doctor, you know, like, when she had her accident, you know, couldn't be there. Or, you know, it's not terrible to say, I don't think it's terrible to say, hey, she's had an accident. You know, she's in the hospital.
Well, I feel like if you end up in the hospital, yeah, I think that's valid of talking about that.
Right,
but
or you
it's
have,
not like that's big news, and it's not like there's, like, I feel like with
it's not like news no one can know, right?
Because, well, it's not news that can be twisted into a narrative that is bullshit. And I think that with the mental health aspect, people are still trying to learn how to talk about mental health in a healthy way. And that has not been, like, that was Ted's whole journey, talking about mental health and, like, talking to Sharon about his issues and trying to work those out. He's trying to do that himself right now. Having some, like, other people know about it and maybe even criticize him for it.
Oh, my God.
Because they're such diehard, like, fans of football. Like, that's so fucked up. And the fact that Nate felt the need to do that to him is fucking bullshit. What did Ted do in this episode or in general to Nate to make him think, oh yeah, I'm gonna get him back for that.
This is a power move. This is exactly what it is. In his mind, this is how he either gets rid of Ted and he takes over Richmond himself, which of course
is bullshit. He's not even next in line.
He's not even close to next in line. He's a fucktard. But no, in his mind, it's either that or he's going to, I guess, position himself. But here's the other thing. And we saw him talk to Rupert.
Oh, that's going to come at the
funeral.
We'll talk about that next episode.
We will, but I mean, the reality of the depths he is going to, and he does not see the character flaw in himself. And it's just really...
He doesn't see a problem with it.
No.
And we'll talk about that next episode, but it's...
Or with lying in general, but we'll talk about that next episode.
It's just bullshit. Like, why... Also, another thing is that, like, does he even care who knows that it was an... Like, the fact that he was like, okay, I want it to be anonymous. Obviously, it's going to be anonymous so that not everyone goes after him immediately.
Right, because there is that reporter privilege, right?
Yeah, but also, you have to think about the fact that would Ted think it would be? It's definitely not going to be fucking Beard.
Never.
Roy would never do that.
No.
Because why the fuck would he?
Right.
Like, that's none of his business. He's been very open about, it's none of my business.
No.
That was even a moment in, like, an earlier episode where they're just like, oh, yeah, Ted has, he's going to be.
Right, they're
practice.
All having this true confession.
Well, no. When Ted had to go to the hospital to take care of Sharon, and they were like, oh, we didn't ask why. He's just not going to be here. And it's just like, well, don't you want to know? It's like, it's none of our business. They're very good about, like, okay, this is confidential. Especially with this.
Respect people's privacy.
Absolutely.
You should.
So who the fuck... It's definitely not going to be fucking Sharon. So, because, oh my god, that would be so many levels of bad.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
I completely forgot about this part of the plot line because I was just like... Wait, what happened? It's like, it's not Sharon. It's not. It's definitely not Roy.
Oh,
and it's definitely not Beard. I'm like, it's fucking Nate, that fucker. I hate him. I do love that Trent tells him.
Right. And again, that's a whole thing, and we'll talk about it. But I feel like when we talk about this episode, and we haven't even talked about the best part because we go straight to the bad part. But everything Nate does in this episode...
makes me hate him more.
Yeah. I mean, kissing Keely? Who the fuck do you think you are, you fucktard?
First of all, it's not... It's one thing... Okay. Let's just look at the different approaches that Nate and Jamie... Because Roy is dealing with, like, the confessions of both about Nate and Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, it's not a threat. It's whatever. But it's still fucked
up. But he actually did
something. He does apologize in the moment because, of course, he's like, oh, wait. Oh, God. She's not really responding. Oh, God. But, like, I don't think he apologized for the right reasons. And then, but with Jamie, it's like, I'm sorry, I know you're with Roy. I'm sorry that, like, this is coming up right now, but I still love you, but just do with that what you will. And so it's like, it's different ways of approaching it. And Jamie didn't fucking kiss her.
Jamie respects Keely.
Well, that comes
Nate
up in the next
does
episode.
Not.
Nate
and
doesn't
this,
respect anybody because
right,
he's still
including
fucking
himself.
Self-absorbed.
But including himself, and he just spits on himself. He does not understand what real, normal human relationships are or should be.
But what gave him the idea that that was a good play?
Because he's seeing Keely as relating to him. Like,
that doesn't...
No, I'm just going to put this out there because I think he is someone who has never had any kind of normal relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
The character. And so,
well, I mean, he mentions that his dad broke up every kind of romantic possibility.
Right. So part of what happens with Nate is that he has no idea what a normal relationship could be, but he also, anything he distorts. Like, so he distorts Ted's reaching out and saying, hey, you're doing a great job. I appreciate everything you've done. I'm going to promote you. I've asked Rebecca to do it. You're going to be, like, on the coaching staff.
And the team is so happy for him.
Right. He does.
Getting the jersey for him.
Right. Any positive thing,
he
warps. And so, and part of that is what happens with Keely. Because Keely's like, you and I, we're the kind of people who are always going to have to work harder. to prove things to people. And she's basically being Keeley, because Keeley feels
Keeley's like that with everybody.
Right. She sees a connection with basically anybody she meets, including then, Rebecca, which, okay,
I love her and Rebecca, though.
I know, but they're not peers or anything, but she sees a humanity in everybody. And yeah, she, you know, she goes
that's
straight
what makes her
to
so
that.
Great. Yeah. And except for Rupert and the baby.
And let's face it, Rupert fucking sucks.
Well, so, yeah, no, but she has instincts about certain people.
Right, right. Right, but I think, you know, that is part of what makes her amazing, but it Nate's inability to distinguish that mm-hmm. is a, you know, another huge, one of many huge character flaws for Nate, and that's part of the reason possibly that Nate has not had the success that he had hoped to have.
Surprise, surprise. Anyway, let's move on to a best part, worst part.
Okay, best part, because I think we've pretty much covered the worst part.
No, I have one more.
Oh, you do? Lovely. My best part, and I didn't, like I said, I didn't write stuff down. My best part of this episode is Sam talking to his dad.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel, again, it's one of those things where I feel like him knowing that he needs advice and that being the guy he goes to, you know, like, hey, you know, I need to be grounded with this. I'm being offered, you know, the world mm-hmm. on a platter, and I just want to, you know, touch base with my roots and get some sense of who I am mm-hmm. and who my identity is. It's kind of like that whole, you know, Hamlet thing with, you know, be true
to
yourself,
that himself, be true.
Right, the whole Laertes discussion. You have this sense with Sam. He's very young, but he's such a good guy, and he's so grounded in part because his dad's such a good guy.
Yeah.
So, I love that. That was my best part.
Yeah.
What was your best part?
I had two. I had Roy hyping Keeley up, which was really sweet. I love that
I forgot
so
that.
Much.
That's really good.
And Sharon and Ted. I love Sharon and Ted in this episode.
That's true.
Because he, even though he was resistant to the way that she was going to say goodbye, like, he now understands why she, like, he has another, again, another connection with her about, like, understanding, oh, you, she, I love how, like, there's one part where he's just like, you completely ignored my abandonment issues that I got from my father and from my wife, and she's just like, I addressed it in the letter, and then he's just like, but I'm not gonna read the letter. It's like, please just read it. Like, I'm better at that than this.
And I think that it's funny in part because I didn't note that as a positive, in part because I hate that the doc is leaving because we're finally getting some real
characters. Oh, I hate that she's leaving too.
We're getting some real characters.
I was hoping she was just gonna stay with the team.
Right. Right.
I don't know.
Right. There's no reason to.
It's the end of the season. It's right. Not like it is
a finite character arc, and I get it.
I hope she comes back in season 3.
Yeah, but what I loved about that, of course, is the stuff you've pointed out, but you know, some of it with Ted, you really get to see how differently people interact. And this is very true in real life, too. You've got people that you have to talk to. Mm-hmm. You've got people that you can write stuff to. You've got... And vice versa. You have people that aren't going to be necessarily articulate in ways that you expect them to be.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have a hybrid.
Yeah, right. And sometimes it's really hard, like, in the moment, like, when you're feeling very emotional, to be articulate about that.
To quote Elton John's Your Song, I hope you don't mind, that I put down in words how wonderful life is
while you're in the world.
Yeah. Now you're in the world. Sorry, I had to, like...
That's actually a Bernie Taupin lyric. But
I know
Elton
it from your song.
Elton John sang it and did an amazing job coming up with a tune to go with it.
But
so,
yeah,
there you go.
Another thing with Sharon and Ted, I love the pub moments with them.
Yeah,
like, them playing pinball.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, we had not seen much of that side
Sharon, yeah. I wish we got more of a chance to see that. But I'm glad she kind of got her own episode to be like, okay, this is her last day kind of thing. I'm glad it wasn't mixed in with all the other shit that's going on in the next one. But I think it was a good call, but I wish we got to see more of their relationship, but it's understandable given Ted's journey as a person. Like, he was resistant at first, and you had to show that. But
what is your extra worst part? Or do you have extra best parts?
Well, I also would like to say what I wrote in all caps. It was that fucker Nate kissing Keely and exposing Ted and complaining. But also Roy and Keely having so much tension. First of all, not the time or place. I understand like the heightened emotion of like whatever, but I think that it's interesting that Keely waited until she exposed the thing with Nate to tell him about Jamie, which I think is telling. First of all, that's a double whammy for fucking Roy. Like, first of all, he was being like so supportive. He was doing all the right things. He has been making an effort and he has been doing so well. And
he's an amazing guy.
He's amazing. And right. He's an amazing boyfriend and she knows it. But what's disappointing to me is that Keely decided, like, I'm glad she told him about both of them. I'm glad that wasn't, like, a shock to, like, a random thing where Jamie just is like, oh, yeah, I love Keely still. I told her that at the funeral.
Holy fuck,
like, that
yeah.
would have been, like, crazy. But I am glad that they are still, they do communicate. But I'm surprised that it took this long for Keely to say that kind of thing.
I'm surprised by it too, honestly. And
it says a lot about how Keely is right now.
Right. I have, and I think this is going to come up more in
the next episode.
Yeah. But I am
disappointed.
Yeah, right. So, like, in the first season, I really felt like I was pulling for Keely and Roy and feeling a little sorry for Keely, you know, because I felt like the power balance was more.
Well, Roy was more closed off, and he needed to be brought out of his shell to a certain extent.
Right.
For Keely's pretty open, but now that everything's flipped, I'm just like, well, Roy's doing the most.
I wouldn't
call
it flipped. I think they're balanced right now.
I feel like it's a little bit of an imbalance on Keely's part as far as, like, communicating things to Roy. And she has, for the most part, but. And also, like, these things are happening to Keely. It's not like anybody's, like, kissing Roy. Like, yeah, him and the teacher talked for 3 hours, but he made sure it wasn't, like, anything like that.
Right.
But he still is confused about why he didn't, like, specify and whatever. So, like, that's what he's grappling with. But with her, it's, like, somebody confessing their love, somebody kissing her. I understand that that's very confusing for her and being like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Like, what? With Nate, it's an easier thing where it's just like, let's just forget about it. It really doesn't mean anything to me. It shouldn't mean anything to you. So that's fine to communicate that to Roy. But for Jamie, I'm surprised that she didn't mention it sooner. Again, like, I'm just surprised.
Well, right, and you see her reactions in that episode, the funeral episode, and we didn't talk about that as much because there's so much in that episode. But her reactions, she's just really, you can see her having this kind of mental breakdown, like, holy shit.
Well, after Nate kisses her, he goes back into the dressing room, she's like, shit. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Because she's like reassuring him.
And then I'm talking about Jamie though. I mean,
well, no, yeah. She didn't get much time to process that in the moment.
No. But you can see that that is a much bigger thing for her. And of course, it is a bigger thing for Roy. Mm-hmm. Because she had a relationship with Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not clear on how long it was, but it was lengthy.
It was established enough for like her to be so involved with the team. That it wasn't weird.
Right, and
just
like he stayed at her apartment regularly, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. It is a very.
It was intimate. And so it that hurts more and it's more impactful. I don't know. And that's my other worst part.
How'd you grade this episode?
I gave it a B. I really, really hate Nate, but I really, really like the Sharon and Ted stuff, so it kind of tries to balance itself out. I might be persuaded to a B-, but I think B- B is kind of where I am.
I think it's better than the Beard episode, and I think I gave the Beard episode what a B-, so I'd have to give this a B. So, I feel like I don't love it. It's well structured. It moves the plot along. It does the things that it needs to do. But where some of these characters are going is very upsetting to me. So it's like a thing. So anyway, that's where I would leave that.
Yeah.
But we are going to head into the last episode. And it feels like an extra because 12 episodes seems long for a Ted Lasso season.
Well, it's 2 episodes longer. Yeah.
It is. And so we're going to head into this last episode. We've given you, obviously, some sense of where we're going with this, but yeah. We hope that you join us because we have much to say about the last episode of Season 2, Ted Lasso. So, cheers.
Join us.
Join us and cheers.